Church, why don't we welcome Pastor Russell as he comes to bring the word.
Thank you. Just a bit of worship there, Kay. Well, last Sunday, I believe God did something really significant. I believe he imparted the prophetic to you. Is that right? Okay. Now, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to start off like this morning. And so, Betty, come out here. And sister, come out. Would you come out? See how good that is? Thanks, Kay. That's lovely. I was in a big camp in Malaysia a number of years ago, and it was quite funny, actually, because right behind me in this camp, right up in the Cameron Highlands, right behind the pulpit was a toilet. So everybody kept marching up to the toilet while I just started to preach. So I said to the Lord, "What do you want me to do, people? We don't really know what we have until the time that we have to draw it. And we need to do more of those things more naturally and easily, because the gifts of the Spirit are easy. I've seen thousands of people move in brand new gifts. Like I said, in Slovakia, 250 people moving in brand new gifts. And one of the things that has been closed down in this whole nation, in many places, are the gifts. We only hear prophecy. We don't see the rest of the gifts. And I keep saying, God, what happened to the rest of the gifts? Where are they? Well, I want you to know, I got a word this morning, and the word is about the whole essence of the prophetic. And I want to start off with in Exodus 7, chapter 7. Here Moses is actually throwing down the rod. If you got your Bible, it'd be great if you could read it with me in Exodus chapter 7, and it's verse 1, and it says here, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you a god to Pharaoh.'" That's incredible. I've made you a god. Literally a man in a position and authority, just like God, a judge. "I've made you a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. Then you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his hand. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies." And then he said, "And my people and the children of Israel out of the hand and out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." It's time for Australia to know that Jesus is Lord. "And when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring but the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did the Lord as the Lord commanded them, and so they did. And Moses was 40 years old, and Aaron was 43 years of age. And the Lord spake to Moses. Moses was 4 and Aaron was 30, sorry. And the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, 'Show us a miracle,' then you will get Aaron to take his rod and throw it down in front of Pharaoh. And so you take the rod in your hand and cast it before Pharaoh, and it'll become a great serpent." And then, of course, Pharaoh called his magicians, and they cast down their rods, and they became snakes. But the snake of the rod that was thrown down ate up all their snakes. Now, from one miracle to another, unbelievable miracle. But you see, I want you to know something. What you throw down, you won't pick up the same thing. What he picked up, he said, "Pick it up." Now, I don't know if you realize Moses was not a snake charmer. But at the same time, God was going to use a man who didn't think that God had remembered him for 40 years on the backside of a hill when he saw a burning bush and the Lord spoke to him and commissioned him. You never know when God's going to commission you. You never know when God's going to call you. Everyone that was ever used of God was always doing something in the calling, in the purpose of God. Zechariah was an old man, so was his wife, well stricken in years, extremely aged. And God said, you're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John. And when that prophetic flows, and when that prophetic comes into the earth, you watch what happens. You see, hear what happens in this whole area. I believe it's time to throw down the rod, and I'll get to that in a moment. But the whole basis of it is this, is that God always makes ways able. When you don't see what can be able, he makes a way able. See, the Bible actually says in Ephesians in 3:20, now unto him who is able to make exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works within you. In Jude 1:24, it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. In Philippians 3, verse 21, it says, he is able to subdue all things to himself. You see, the satanic rods have been thrown down in front of the church and in front of the world and in front of you and the church, and said, you're insignificant, you can't do it. And God just, I want you to know, just in those 10 ladies and those 10 men, the Lord just proved himself that you are a prophetic people. You're a prophetic voice to this nation. By the very virtue of those things, we do not know what we have inside us. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen the affliction. The Lord said to Moses, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've seen their depression and misery. And it's rampant in the world today. And I've seen it in my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by the reason of all their taskmasters, the tyrants, and the dried who drive you into the ground. And I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver you. I know what they've gone through. I know what God says. I know what you've gone through. I know where you are. But I know where I want to take you. He never looked at Peter, who was just a smelly fisherman, and he never saw him as he was. He always saw him what he was going to do with him. That's the whole essence of the prophetic. The prophetic will always push you forward, will always propel you forward. A rod like Moses, according to the Hebrews, is a multifaceted piece of wood. Not only a shepherd's rod, it actually indicates a stem, a branch. These are the words of Jesus. A support carried by travelers. Men of rank held them. It was a rod of divine authority and guidance and protection. And also it was an instrument of punishment to wolves and bears. It was a pole to carry sacred furniture into the ark. It was a threshing pole. Like Moses carried it for 40 long years. And it was a symbol of the word. You see, when the word comes out of your mouth, you're throwing down the rod in front of the enemy. God wants us to understand and know. And in that burning bush commission, this rod was a symbol of divine power. When Aaron threw it down, and God then said to Moses, pick it up. What he picked up was not what he threw down. It was totally different. Now, I want you to know the rod is not in Moses' hand any longer. God Almighty has now put that rod in your mouth. That's the difference. The rod of turning into a snake emphasized divine power that was always resident. And inside that resident power was resident divine plan and purpose to get out of the situation. I believe that God is transforming, metamorphosing the church in many, many shapes and forms and manner. Like I said last week, in the last days, God's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy, and all men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. Let me ask the question. Hands up, or don't have, put your hand up. Any of the old men dreaming dreams this week? Did any of the young men see visions this week? Did any of you have prophetic words in your family this week? This is the question. Well, I believe it did. Look what happened to those 10 ladies. See, in 2 Chronicles, if you've got your Bible there, 2 Chronicles and chapter 20 and verse 2 Chronicles. Sorry, I'll get to it in a moment. Okay. And it says here, and it came to pass afterwards, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And it says there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes an unbelievable multitude against you from beyond the sea on the other side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedeon." And the Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat feared greatly. And then he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast right throughout Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O God, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? You rulest over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who does drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people of Israel and give it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell therein and have built you a sanctuary. Therein is your name.'" And then it says here in verse 9. In verse 9, it's incredible. Let me read that in here. "If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distresses, and you will hear us and save us." Now here's Jehoshaphat, greatly in fear, and now he's called to fast. What could have been done better? He called the whole nation to fast and to pray. He called that nation, "Get on your knees and pray and fast. We have an enemy that's standing right on our doorstep. We have an enemy that wants to kill us and annihilate us and rob us and steal." The enemy, Jesus said, doesn't come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus came with the antidote, "But I've come that you might have life and life superabundantly." So then he says here, we're in fear. The whole nation's in fear. But there always comes a prophetic voice in the time of need. And in that next verse, in verse 14, "Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattanah, a Levite." The Levites were the only ones that can handle the Ark of the Covenant. Nobody else could. Why? Because it attained the glory. A man called Uzzah put his hand on the Ark because it was looked like the tray of the Ark. The oxen were shaking and the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall. And he put his hand to straighten up the Ark and God smote him dead because he had no right. He was not called to touch anything that was sacred. Only the Levites were. Well, let me tell you about the Levites. Levites were incredible people. They had the charge of the tabernacle. They had the charge over the temple court. They carried the ark, and no one else could. They received and distributed tithes. They prepared the showbread in the temple. They taught the law. They served as judges. They pronounced blessing and curses. They were scribes. They were musicians and also the great psalmist. They were connected to the psalmist Asaph, that great psalmist that David had. They supervised the just weights and measures. And here upon this prophetic voice in the church, in the congregation, when the whole nation was in fear, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, here a prophet stands up. A Levite stands up and prophesies. And he said, "You hearken unto to me, all Judah, and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat." And he says, "Be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude." And then he said something to the church. "For the battle is not yours, it's mine. The battle is never yours, it's always God's. The battle is not yours, it's God's." Hallelujah. You said, and then he said, "What you need to do is stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And tomorrow go down and face them." Now, here's one thing leading to another. Now, do you remember this? Jehoshaphat's in great fear, remember? In great fear. The whole nation's in great fear. Now the prophetic word comes forth. "This is not your battle, it's mine." God says, "Relax, take it easy, but you need to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord." And what happens in verse, I love this bit of this verse. It goes on to say, "Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up against the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight, but set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation. The Lord is with you, and Judah and Jerusalem. For fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Now listen, Jehoshaphat's now prophesying. Before he couldn't prophesy. It took a prophet to stand up and prophesy. "Stand still. I want you to know this battle is not yours, it's God's. No battle that you go through is yours, it's God's. Jesus won it all at the cross. So no matter what's happening in your body, people are going to be healed here this morning. God is going to heal you. If you've been struggling with something for a long time, oh, well, then you've gotten used to it. If you've gotten used to it, it won't go. If you fight it, it will go." You see, what happens here is this. I love this. They went out early in the morning in verse 20. Well, that was quick. Here it says, listen to me, Judah and Jerusalem. Now, Jehoshaphat's prophesying. Why, he's heard a prophet, and the prophetic word stirred him. The prophetic word brought him alive in the prophetic. He thought he was in fear. See, he didn't know what you've got. You don't know what you've got. And Jehoshaphat said, "Listen to me, Judah and Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld." No, it actually says in the established, where this is the version that Paul used. And early in the morning, in verse 20, they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me now, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem." Then he said this, two things. Believe. What do you say? Believe what? Believe the Lord your God and you'll be established. The word established is a very interesting Hebrew word. It means to be made firm and strong and resilient, immovable, unbelievable. What a word. It means to stand firm, to speak the truth, declare it. It says here, you don't need to fight. Established means to be made supported and trusted and powerful. Believe the Lord your God. And then he said this, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I wonder how many times in a church, and I've seen it many times, I've been in many churches, and I've seen a right on the verge of phenomenal prosperity. The word prosperity here means to push forward, break out, to break through, to go over, to get rid of every hindrance, every barrier, every sickness, every mindset, everything that stands against you, everything that's pulled you down into a hole, everything that's made you sick, everything that's made you depressed. Everything that you say, I haven't heard the Lord, I don't know which way to go. Everything, he says, believe in the Lord your God. You'll be made firm and strong, supported and powerful. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. I thought, wow. See, believe in the prophets and you'll prosper. Well, how did they prosper? Elijah prophesied to King Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And right next to him was the queen. Her name was Jezebel, and she loved to kill prophets. And he walked away, but he had to live in the prophetic word that he just spoke. And then he went back to Ahab after 3 years. And he said, arise, eat and drink. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I've heard that, and many other people have heard that. Many prophets have come into this city and said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It's going to rain in Perth. It's going to rain in Perth. And it's about time it started to rain. It's about time it started to bring the miraculous into the place. It's about time a great multiplicity of miracles, of not only miracles, of ministries, started to come and flood the earth out of this hillside church. It's about time for God to do something that has never been in Hillside, ever since it started. And he said here, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And he said, it's now going to rain. After 3 years, there's going to come a deluge. And it sure did. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Paul the apostle, you know, the Bible says in the book of Ezra 6, in verse 14, the Jews and the elders prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet. And I asked this morning, I say this morning, there are prophetic voices here. We need to hear them. With the prophetic voices are in this church, and you are those voices. God is going to use you. You see, Paul the apostle prophesied on the ship, and he told the men not to leave Crete, but they did. The master didn't take any notice of what Paul said. He said, I perceive there's going to be harm to this ship, but if you listen carefully to me, right at the end, when that ship was being shipwrecked, he said, don't worry, not one man will be hurt, but the ship will be lost. You see, you prosper by the prophesying of the will of God. Samuel prophesied over Eli and the two sons. There's a little boy on a bed, just been weaned from his mother, Hannah. And he hears these words, and he prophesies them. And who prophesied and who prospered? The whole nation. That Eli, that priest, was evil. So was his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were sleeping with prostitutes at the entrance of the gate of the temple. You see, you kill the prophets, you kill the prosperity. God wants to raise Hillside. God wants to raise Hillside. And he's going to raise this church. It's time to throw down that rod. You see, that rod is not in your hand any longer. It's the rod in your mouth that makes the difference. Remember when they came to the rock as they were walking through? God said to Moses, they don't have any water. And the people were shouting and screaming, we don't have any water. He said, what do I do? He said, I want you to take that rod. I want you to walk up to that rock and strike it. And then out of that rock came gushing water to feed over a million people. How much water came out of that place, out of that one rock? The next time as they were walking through, he said, they don't have any water. He said, I want you to take your rod, but this time take it and leave it. But this time I want you to walk up to the rock. I want you to speak to it. That first striking of the rock is striking Jesus on the cross. That second is what we do now. God has put a rod in the mouth of the church. He's put that rod in your mouth, over your family, over your business, over your children, over your unsaved relatives. That rod's in your mouth. And we need to hear what's in your mouth more. Why? Well, they prospered at the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah. But say, believe the Lord your God. You'll be established, made strong and firm. I know a lot of places that are strong and firm, but they know nothing about the prophet. They know nothing about the prophetic. Okay, can you come? Know nothing about it. The prosperity is held back. I ministered for Joseph Prince a number of times, and he's a friend of mine. When the GFC happened, the global financial crisis took place in 2008, he said to the people, we're going to take a special faith offering for this church. I was there just after they took it. And he said, I want you to pray. This is a special faith offering. Why? Believe the Lord your God. You'll be established. Believe in his prophets. So shall you prosper. On the one Sunday morning, he took that offering. And there was $8.5 million in the offering. You know what that word prosper means in the Hebrew? Be made wealthy and blessed. Does God want to bless his church? Yes, he does. Is the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just? Yes, it is. We need revelation. Jesus said to the disciples, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? They said, oh, some said Jeremiah, some said one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say I am? And Peter stood in front of them all with revelation. He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. What was Jesus? He was a prophet, priest, and king. A prophet, priest, and king. Why? Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. Today, Joseph paid cash in the vicinity of $300 million you should see his church. This morning, that prophetic voice is here. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to seek his face. Let's just see what God does. When Moses threw down that rod, he had no idea what would take place. And he became one of those fiery serpents. When he was told to go pick it up, he knew what that rod felt like. That was a rod of the miraculous. Every time he raised that rod, the miraculous took place. But when he picked it up then, it was a different rod. When you were born again, that rod came to your mouth. God will never put it back in the hand again. The presence of God will never dwell in a box made by human hands. It dwells in a man. And it lives in a man. And it speaks in a man. And it declares in a man. Because that man is the hands and the feet, and the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the heart of God Almighty. We're going to worship the Lord. See what happened. Where the miracle happened in the rod was not when he threw it down. The miracle happened when he picked it up. The moment he picked it up, it was bigger, it was greater, it was stronger. That's the rod of God he put in the mouth of the church. That was a deliberate act of faith. And you and I are custodians and architects and designers. We're the forerunners of the future. We're reformers and pioneers. And I believe God is calling us to throw down that rod in front of the enemy's feet. In Isaiah 11, verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." It says in Isaiah 52, "And he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground." In Zechariah 6, it says, "Behold, a man whose name is the branch." In Revelation 5, it says, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals.'" That rod destroyed every one of Pharaoh's miracles. It destroyed their kingdom. And I say this morning, throw down that rod. Use your mouth like those 10 ladies this morning, because it'll bring prosperity to you. Let's stand and worship.